Eric, what do you feel like the Lord gave you?
My wife and I have been traveling for a few weeks, and we're getting back, and I just keep feeling like the Holy Spirit is saying for the body of Christ, and I felt it this morning again, that we are hearing news around the world about things going on. We're hearing things that are going on in our own country. People are giving us news about maybe financial situations or situations in our family. We're hearing all these negative news, and I feel like in our minds, they are becoming Goliath. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying this morning that we need to stop fearing this Goliath. I feel like he's saying you need to pick up that stone. You need to rush that line with the Spirit of God, and he will shove that stone in the enemy's head. I feel like he's saying that we are afraid to go where the Spirit of God is saying go. We are afraid to open our mouths when the Spirit of God says to open our mouths. Even in here, I feel like there are prophets and healers in here, and you are afraid to step out. God is saying, do not be afraid, I am with you. I'll be honest, I'm afraid, man, to come up here and talk. It's a big church. I'm used to small churches, you know? I had to go talk to Howard, you know? I'm not lying, I had to do it this morning, man. I'm just sitting there afraid this morning, my own self. You know, but now I came up here, who got encouraged? Who's gonna get encouraged when you open your mouth?
That's right, that's good. That's good, Eric. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, that's the balance to the word I was telling you this morning. Is, man, are we in store for some great things. All of those who are willing and obedient are going to eat the good of the land. Do not be afraid. Right now, the enemy's trying to intimidate people with fear. Do not be afraid. Preach to your neighbor. Prophesy. Look at him and say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This is not the time for fear. This is the time for faith. One little point I want to make to you, a little family business I want to tell you about before we go in the Word. Ora Dunlap, who was a longtime member of this church, Ora, she hasn't been able to come for the last couple or 2.5 years or so, but she was a member for many, many years. She's Doug Shelton's grandmother. Some of you know Doug, but she passed away this week at 96 years old. It's too bad she lived such a short life. At 96, she went to be with the Lord. I saw her on Thursday, and I'm sure glad that we went, because she passed away a couple of days after that. And her funeral, her visitation is tonight from 4 to 6 p.m. at Kaiser Mayfield Funeral Home in Burleson, right there by Hughley. And her memorial service is tomorrow at 3 p.m. at Kaiser Mayfield. And we're going to be ministering to the family tomorrow, many of you. I think James King, James, I think, is singing. Pastor John, I believe, is singing. And I'm going to be speaking, and we're just going to be ministering to the family and celebrating Aura's homegoing. So I thought some of you might remember Aura, and you might wanted to know that. But we rejoice with the Lord that she's with Jesus today. Hallelujah. What a wonderful lady Aura was and is. How many of you remember Aura? How many of you remember? There's a few of you that remember. It's been a while. There's a lot of new folks that didn't get a chance to meet her. Wonderful lady. So praise God. We'll be celebrating with her family and loving on them starting this evening. So praise God. You know, as I was praying for the last few days, I really feel like the Lord has spoken to me to teach a little bit this morning about the anointing. It's a little bit intimidating to me because I thought, Lord, I don't know that I know very much at all about the anointing. I know what it is. I've heard about it all my life. I grew up in a charismatic church. I heard the phrase used off and on. I heard people say things like, there's an anointing here for this or for that. Or I've heard people say that this person is really anointed. I always thought they were saying annoying when they said that about me. He's very annoying. But then it's anointing, it's anointed. And I just wanted to do a little bit of study about that. I felt like the Lord told me to talk to you about that today. And so I want to, and I think there's always a reason. Everybody say there's always a reason. There's always a reason that the Lord wants to do anything. He wouldn't want to talk about the anointing if the anointing wasn't present. He wouldn't want to share about it if it wasn't coming in a full measure. So praise God. So I'm excited about this morning. So I want to talk a little bit about the anointing of the Lord today. And first of all, I think my glasses are really dirty. First of all, I think the best thing to do would be to define what is the anointing? What does that mean when we say those terms? Now, the concept of anointing was first, if I remember correctly, was first revealed to Moses. God began to talk to Moses about anointing, and he began to share with him about the concept of anointing. And God spoke to Moses, and he told him, he said, I want you to see that an oil is created that is going to be used to anoint items, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that are for my use. I want you to see that a special oil is created that is going to be used in the ministry. And this is what God spoke to him, and this is how he said it to him in Exodus chapter 30. In verses 23 through 25, and this is out of the New Living Testament this morning because it elaborates on it a little bit more. But this is what God told Moses. He said, collect choice spices, 12 and a half pounds of pure myrrh. So this is not something you can mix in a thimble. This is something you're going to have some buckets. Everybody say buckets. Buckets. God was not intending to use this one time. He was intending for this to be something present in his house. He was intending for it to be something that was used over and over and over again and was ever present. Everybody say ever present. Ever present in his house. He said, collect choice spices, 12 and a half pounds of pure myrrh, 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant calamus, and 12 and a half pounds of cassia as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Also get 1 gallon of olive oil. And like a skilled incense maker, blend these ingredients together to make a holy anointing oil. And Moses was to make this oil, and he wasn't to use it in his vehicle. This oil had a very specific use. It was to be used for a very specific purpose. And this is what God told him in Exodus 30, 31, and 32. He said, and say to the people of Israel, this holy anointing oil is reserved for who? For me. Not me, but God. It's God talking, not Parky. He said, you tell the children of Israel, this holy anointing oil is reserved for me. This is something that I use. It's something that I decide where it's given out. This is something that is set apart for me. It's set apart for me from generation to generation. It must never be used to anoint anyone else, what he's saying, other than who I say. And you must never make any blend like it for yourselves. It's holy, and you must treat it as holy. We can't fake the anointing. Everybody say we can't fake it. Can't fake the anointing. We can't duplicate the anointing on our own. There's only one anointing oil. It cannot be faked. What am I doing? I keep rubbing my glasses. Well, here, thank you so much. It can't be faked. It can't be duplicated. It's not to be used for selfish purposes. The anointing oil is reserved for the Lord, for his specific use. And Moses was to put this oil on the items of worship that were used in the tabernacle of meeting, and he was to put this oil upon the sons of Aaron, upon Aaron and his sons. And when he did this, God told him that this oil consecrated these items. Now, that's a word we don't use very much anymore. But God said, when you put the oil on these items and on these people, they are consecrated. Now, what does consecrated mean? I'm glad you asked. It means to be set apart. consecrated means to be hallowed. Hallowed means to set apart for worship. It's not to be used for anything else other than worship. It's set apart for God's use and God's use only. And this literally means that the people and the items that were anointed were set apart by God for His purposes. They were no longer to be used for ordinary purposes, but they were strictly people or items of worship. This is going to change the way you look at yourself here in a minute. They were set apart to be people or items of worship. Now, there was another interesting note in Exodus 30, 29. It said, consecrate them and make them absolutely holy. This is talking about those things that are anointed with the oil. And it's talking about Aaron. And it said, and what after he's anointed, whatever touches the things that are anointed will also become holy. We'll get back to that in a minute, but that's a good one. That's a good thing. That's why the Bible tells us to lay hands suddenly on no man. Because what we touch, when you're an anointed one, when you've got the whole holy presence of God upon you, everything that's around you that's involved in your life that you begin to touch begins to be set apart for sacred use. So hold on to that for a while. The only other thing that we know about in the Bible that anointing oil was used for was to declare a king, was to set in a king. The Bible tells us this in 1 Samuel 16, 13. It says, then Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed him, and that's David, in the midst of his brothers. And look what happened when he anointed him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. David was anointed as a king. David was set apart in his kingly role for God's purposes, just like the priests were. He didn't flow in that role, but he was set apart in his role as king, just as the priests were. Look at Psalm 89, 20. This is the Lord speaking of David. He said, I have found David, my servant, and with my sacred oil. Everybody say sacred oil. Sacred oil, I have anointed him. I have anointed him. So the oil was set apart, and whatever it was placed upon, it was placed upon at God's direction, and whatever was anointed was set apart for sacred use. Whatever was anointed by God was ordinary no longer. Now, this is what Jesus said about himself. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me. What happened to Jesus? Jesus was anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and that the Spirit of the Lord had anointed him. That anointing was on him. It sent him. It set him apart for God's purposes. And you know what the anointing did? It determined the course of Jesus' life. Jesus said this about himself in John 5:30. He said, by myself I can do nothing. He said, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. When the anointing oil was placed upon something, it set it apart for a sacred use. You could say that it determined its destiny. That no longer was that thing wandering around trying to figure out what it was created for. It knew what it was created for. It was sent for a purpose. Just like Jesus It was anointed to fulfill the will of God. Now let me ask you a question. How many people in this room are filled with the Spirit of the Lord? Three people. Let's see. One, two, three. We got to change course real quickly. How many of you in here are filled with the Spirit of the Lord? Then let me just say this. If that's the case, then you are a sacred, consecrated person. You are set apart for God's purposes. What's my destiny, Mama? You don't have to ask what your destiny is anymore. You're set apart for the purposes of God. You're anointed by the Holy Spirit to do all the things that would fall within the ministry of our Savior to bring glory to Him and to continue His ministry in the earth. You're set apart. You've got the same anointing upon you that Jesus had on Him. Not some junior. There is one anointing oil. There's one, not several. There's one. And the Bible, Jesus said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that created purpose and brought power into His life, dwells where now? Dwells in you. And it's not in short supply. It's not in a thimbleful. It's gallons. It's overflowing. And that Spirit is there to change your life, to determine your destiny, to commune with you. It's the presence of God that is with us in this earth. The Father is seated in heaven on His throne, and Jesus is seated as Lord at the right hand of the Father. That's where they are right now. The Holy Spirit is sent here to dwell with you and to complete the ministry of Jesus, thus bringing glory to Jesus and thus fulfilling the glory of the Father and the heart of the Father. The same Spirit. You are anointed with that same oil. Don't look at your partner and say, you're annoying. Look at him and say, you're anointed. You're anointed. Now the oil of anointing represents the presence, the calling, and the ownership of the Father. How many of you say you're anointed again? You're filled with the Spirit? Okay, well, the oil of anointing represents the Holy Spirit upon you. In our day and time, we still anoint people with oil, but it is representative of something. It is representative of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is sent to fulfill the will of the Father and fulfill the ministry of Jesus. So if you have the presence of the Holy Spirit on you, then you're anointed. And that anointing represents the presence of God. That anointing represents the calling of God. And that anointing represents the ownership of God. Boy, I had a lady one time that called me, and she told me, she said, I can't sleep in my house. She goes, there is weirdo things happening in my house. Weird things. She said, the dogs will wake up in the middle of the night. She said, I'll feel a presence in the house. Then the dogs wake up and they start barking. And she said, then I can see this thing standing at the foot of my bed. And she said, and then the next thing you know, it tries to get on top of me, and I can't breathe. Now, I know that sounds weird, but I have heard that story from many people, especially a lot of women. Anybody ever experienced something like that before in your life? I don't know what that does, but I have heard that story multiple times. So Darby and Mike and Rhonda and I went out there, and we took anointing oil with us. And we marched around the property, and we anointed that place with oil, symbolic of saying, this place belongs to God. It's set apart for His use. I don't know what use it had before. But it's set apart for His use. This house is not owned by an individual. This house is owned by God. It belongs to Him. So therefore, everything else that has been operating here must leave. And you know, she told us later, she said after that day, she never had another manifestation. The dog slept all night. She never had another manifestation of those things. And you know what? I have never, ever seen that fail to work. I'm not saying it's a formula. Because when you're dealing with spirits, they don't follow formulas. They follow and operate according to lordship. Who's in control? But I've never seen that fail to work. That's how powerful the anointing that you carry on you is. That's how powerful the Spirit of God is. You're anointed for a purpose and you're anointed with power. And no longer do you live for ordinary purposes. Now, you may do some things that look ordinary. There were instruments in the temple of God, used in the tabernacle of meeting and in the temple of God, that were used for what appeared to be ordinary purposes. There were buckets to carry water. There were lavers to dip water. There were bowls to wash in. There were shovels to carry out the ashes and all these other kind of things. So it looked like it was created for ordinary purposes. I mean, it looked like it didn't have any different purpose than maybe a shovel or a bucket or something you had at your home. You were using at your house. But there was a difference. Even though the duties may have looked the same, there was a difference. The things in that tabernacle temple were anointed. They were anointed. So nothing that they did, even if it looked ordinary, was ordinary. Everything that happened that they were used for was used for the glory. Everybody say the glory. The glory of God. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 and 22 it says this. For all the promises of God in Jesus are yes and in Him amen to the glory of God. Through who? Through us. So you're carriers of the glory of God. You are people whose calling is to see the promises of God come to pass in. Now, He who establishes us with you in Christ and has what? And has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You're anointed. You are anointed by the Spirit of the Lord if you belong to God and have been filled with His Spirit. In Revelation 5:10, it says, He has made us unto our God kings and priests. Both were anointed. Kings and priests. And we shall, what on the earth? Reign. You know what that means? That doesn't mean you're going to be able to sit around and eat bonbons and somebody's going to work on you all the time and cater to your every need. That means that the lordship of Jesus is going to be seen through you. It's the only way to reign on the earth is the lordship of Jesus to be seen through you. And He has anointed you with a kingly anointing, and He has anointed you with a priestly anointing. And He has anointed you for a purpose, and that's to see His lordship manifest through you on the earth. On the earth, where you live. Where do you live? Say your address out loud. Somebody just said it, and then somebody else behind you is writing it down. A single guy said, ah, yeah, I've been waiting on this. Where do you live? That's where the lordship of Jesus intends to operate. Where do you work? Say the name of your work out loud. Here. Praise God. I heard somebody say here. Well, then the lordship of Jesus intends to operate where you just said. Well, oh, Pastor, you don't know. You know, some of us get that gloom and despair. You don't know where I work. You don't know what's going on there. You don't know. No, I don't. And you know what? I don't really care. Because there's an anointed one there. Thomas, God sent you. You say, well, I'm just on this job. This job don't mean very much. Are you saying that God would send an anointed one there and it doesn't mean anything? Remember what the Bible said, Thomas? Everything you touch. What have you touched lately? Her, your children, your house, your job, your toilet. All of those things have become items of sacred interest. Your hard-headed children. All of those things are items of sacred interest. And where you go is not just a place. Where you go is become an item of sacred interest because an anointed one, and I'm not saying, you know, we're anything important. The only thing that makes us valuable in all is the presence of God. I'm a jug that carries something valuable in it. But God sent an anointed one there. It's not just anywhere anymore. Well, I just worked down at Taco Casa. No, it ain't just a place. It's a place of divine interest because God's got you there. And your destiny's not just to be a worker at Taco Casa. Your destiny is to walk in there and say, "Ooh, God, what are you doing here? Show me. Show me what you're doing here so I can be a part of what God is doing in this place. So I can see His will come to pass." Well, it ain't never going to happen. We got a bunch of people here aren't interested in God. They don't want anything to do with God. Boy, I hate the way we I hate the way we disempower the Spirit. Oh, God can't do anything. We sound like the children of Israel. We talked about them on Wednesday night. We can't do this. We can't do that. Nothing's possible. Oh, everything's too big. That's just what Eric was talking about. Everything's too big. We're never going to get our name written in a book like this one if that's the way we are. We got to be people that say nothing is impossible with God. I know it looks bad now, but nothing's impossible. I went to East Texas State University before it became Texas A&M, whatever. And I went there and I knew God sent me there. And I knew God sent me there for a purpose. After my first week of classes, I was walking back to my car like this. This is the most ungodly place I've ever been to in my life. And they're teaching this ungodliness and people are paying to get it taught to them. And I was walking out there, I felt like I weighed 1,000 pounds. You're about to go back to school. You know, you start Monday. And you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "I didn't send you here to turn this into East Texas Baptist University." He said, "I sent you here to touch who I show you to touch and to speak about my reality and to do it without fear." Well, that was a great training ground for me to do what I'm doing now. Because you know what? You had to stand up in the presence of academics. People, you know what an academic is? He's a guy who can't get another job. So all he can do is teach at the university. I know there's some, John Savelle's not here today. No, all of you guys, if you're, boy, we need Christians teaching at universities. Woo! But you know, some of those people were the most messed up people I'd ever seen in my life. And they're teaching other people how to live life. But anyway, but it was a good lesson for me to learn how to stand up in the face of academics and say, "I believe God. I believe God. I believe God." And when you start dealing with evidence, you know what? They can't argue with evidence. I believe God. Everywhere you go, everything you touch is a subject of divine interest. God wants to use you. Now, as a matter of fact, He doesn't just want to, He's decided to. Now, what have you decided? Are you still same old, same old? Do you still want to live at a low level? You know, do you still just want to get through life? Priests are accountable. Priests and kings are accountable for everything they touch and what they do with it. Did you know that the Lord spoke to them and said, when you've got the holy anointing oil on you, you better realize you're accountable. Now what he told the king, he told the priests that. He told the kings that. I love what David did. One day David just got kind of careless, and he wasn't where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. He got kind of tired and careless, and next thing you know, he's sinning. And boy, the Lord comes in there and says, "You got the anointing oil on you." Nothing you do is ordinary. So brothers and sisters, say, "Pastor, wrap this up for me." I will. But more importantly, the Lord wants you to realize that what you carry on you is powerful. Don't look at it and let it see it losing its power in your own eyes. I don't care who you work for. I don't care who your boss is. God is more powerful. I don't care what the people at your job want. God is more powerful. I don't care where they are right now. God is more powerful. God has sent a person in you into a place in which you can stand before God just like Abraham did. And you can change the conditions and the outcome of a place by your agreement with the will of God. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. And the Lord wanted me to preach on this, I guess, because the anointing is present. Everybody say the anointing is present. And God wants us to walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it in submission to Him. Walk in it in submission to Him. And do not be afraid to splash it on people when God says to do that. Well, they don't want to hear this. You don't know that. It don't matter if they want to hear it or not. God says share it. God says do it. Okay? Great things are in store for you. You are not ordinary. I don't care. If God sent you somewhere, that place is no longer ordinary. Now, I'm not saying that to puff you up with pride. I'm saying that for that will build humility in your life and joy in your life. And you'll come to the place where you'll walk around and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I am not afraid to do what you want me to do, because I understand that even though there may be strongholds operating in this place, that one man in agreement with God can change the structure." Can change the structure. Now, I'm not saying God will do that, but if that's what He wants to do, He'll do it. If He can get one person there in agreement with Him. So I want you to be confident, more confident in the power of God than in what you see around you. Well, these people don't want what you're talking about. Well, what they want and don't want really is immaterial. If this is what God is saying, this is what's going to happen. That's your attitude on your job. And then you go in and then you just say, "Lord, who do you want me to minister to? Who do you want me to touch?" Okay? And then when He shows you, you do it. And you do it with confidence, not in yourself, but in Him. In Him. In Him. Okay? And if you'll do that, you will become an agent of revival. Revival will not be a concept that's talked about. It will become a living person who's walking around, because they have the anointing of the presence of God upon them, and God is moving through them. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for this day. I want to bless you, exalt you, magnify you. There's not a person in this room today that is a child of God filled with the Spirit that's ordinary. Every one of them is anointed. There's not a place where people are that God's not interested in. He's interested in Taco Casa. He's interested in the water department. He's interested in every place where there are people. So, Father, I am a missionary, and I go wherever you tell me to go, and wherever you open the door, there I serve. And Lord, my expectation is not dampened by the hardness of the heart of the people I see around me. My expectation rests in seeing the fulfillment of what God has told me. Because God's greater. God's greater than a hard-headed boss. God is greater than a workforce who doesn't want anything to do with him. God's greater. And whatever he lays hold on, if I'll come into agreement with him, that's his. And he's going to work in it. So, Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and thanks. Use us for your glory and your purposes. And let us experience the joy of the harvesters. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.